Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Today on Edgewise, our guest is Rick Lepsinger. He's the author of a new book, Closing the Execution Gap: How Great Leaders and Their Companies Get Results. Rick is president of On Point Consulting, and he has a 25-year record of success as an organizational consultant and executive. Welcome to Edgewise, Rick.
Thanks, Dave. It's great to be here.
Now, you mentioned in your book that execution is a continuous problem, which, as we come out of the recession, is more serious. Your organization has done considerable research on this. Could you share some of the findings?
It's always critical, but in difficult times, execution becomes even more and more essential. One of the things we found, and I think this is a bit of a shift in trend, is for many, many years, the focus was on strategy. Organizations spend quite a bit of time getting oriented for strategic planning. Over the last 10 years or so, senior managers came to understand the need for a vision. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a time where you had to convince a senior exec that a vision was important, that it was relevant. But now most organizations have robust processes in place for putting together well thought out strategic plans.
Right.
One of the things we found, however, is despite the fact that there were really smart people putting together viable, feasible, realistic, exciting strategies, many of them were still not achieving the intended business results or realizing the promise of those visions and of those plans. So we wanted to understand that dynamic a bit better.
So why don't you tell us about that?
We did our study of over 400 companies, not only to look at what were people doing to be effective at execution, but to understand what differentiated the companies that were most effective from those that were less effective in general. And what we identified were five key prerequisites that all companies have, whether they're good at execution or not. And the five factors align with the conventional wisdom, the things that leaders are told all the time. Academics and consultants are always delivering this message. Get an exciting vision, a clear, realistic strategy, get people fully engaged in the process, have high quality products and services, and focus on the customer. And if you do that, everything will just happen. And what we discovered is that those are absolutely necessary, but they're just prerequisites. That there are, in fact, five key differentiators that differentiate the companies that are best at getting things done.
And what are these five?
We call them bridges that help the organizations traverse the execution gap. And those five are managing change, having a structure in place that supports execution, involving people in decisions that affect them, ensuring you have cooperation and coordination across lines of business, and ensuring that leader behavior is aligned with organizational objectives and values.
All right. Can you share with us some examples of those bridges?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And so one of them is this ability to manage change effectively.
Okay.
When we talk about managing change, and we're not just talking about putting a change architecture in place, but about facilitating change readiness, the work that the leader does to get his or her team ready for key changes.
So can you give us some examples?
Sure. There's Netflix. If you remember when Netflix first started, their method of distribution was DVDs through the mail. It wasn't anything like a Netflix yet. But this organization was already looking forward. They already had the transition and the change built into the name. Mm-hmm. The technology wasn't there yet, but they knew at some point they were going to move to online web-based distribution of movies. So they were preparing for this transition from the very moment they formed the organization.
Right.
Another example is Barnes & Noble. Now, books are also experiencing a similar dramatic shift in the business model. Barnes & Noble is making a very solid effort moving into online distribution of literature and books. They have that Nook, and they've converted their stores to have whole sections that are just devoted to the Nook. So Barnes & Noble is trying to make a transition from bricks and mortar to more online. It's still not quite clear if they will be successful or if they're going to go the way Blockbuster went with videos. But right now, Barnes & Noble is at least taking the right step. They've shown themselves to be open to change and willing to make the necessary changes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Counter to that, you may remember Dell Computers. They had a fantastic business model. They disintermediated, went right to the consumer.
Yeah.
But what started to happen is their competitive advantage was diminished because consumers could buy high-end, high-powered computers in places like Best Buy and other stores.
And what happened there?
Instead of responding to that change by shifting their business model, Dell just lowered price. Unfortunately, that had a very negative impact on other aspects of the business, and customer service is one example. It was horrific.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, Michael Dell has come back, and he's challenged the viability of their old business model, and they're now distributing in Best Buy and Walmart. Mm-hmm. But it might be too late because the brand has been tarnished. It's very difficult to come back. So their unwillingness to embrace change caused them some serious problems.
All right. Now, let's take a look at another bridge.
There's this one about the alignment between leader actions and company values and priorities.
Right.
We say it so often to leaders that it becomes a meaningless phrase. But when you see what it looks like and the impact when leader behavior is unaligned with organizational values, that's when you realize how critical this particular aspect is. So I'll give you two negative examples.
Go ahead.
The first one is the automobile execs. You remember a couple of years ago when they were going down to Washington to ask for money?
Sure.
Here they were going to the U.S. government to bail out the companies, and they flew down in private jets.
Right.
For them not to understand the disassociation between their behavior and the problems the company was having was mind-boggling to people.
Yeah.
The next time they went down, they all drove in their energy-efficient cars. But that was clearly an indication of what was creating some of the problems in the automotive industry and their ability to respond to changes in the economy. The other is BP. That was a tragic event.
Oh, yes.
Now, in many organizations, when leader behavior is misaligned, you're not going to have the kind of impact and results that BP had. But if you look at all the advertising and a lot of the internal documents of BP, they talk about their focus on safety and their commitment to the environment. It's in all their publications. Their logo was even changed to a sunburst flower.
Oh, right.
Yet their managers at all levels of the organization consistently before the explosion made decisions related to materials and following procedures that were counter to safety and counter to their commitment to the environment. And you can see the results of those decisions in terms of the oil spill and the disastrous effect that had.
Absolutely. In your book, you mentioned Costco as an example of alignment.
Yeah. James Sinegal, the CEO, is a great example. Costco is all about thin margins, and his behavior is totally consistent with that. He also has an expectation for his store managers to be on top of all the details and to be focused on customer needs in their region. When he goes to visit a store, he models those behaviors. He asks detailed questions about that store and about the performance of that store, and he knows the answers. So the store manager better be on his or her toes. In his own personal office, he sits at a metal desk with metal chairs, and it overlooks a parking lot.
Hmm.
His salary is less than $500,000, pay and bonus. Relative to other CEOs, it's incredibly low, especially for the value that he brings. So his behavior is totally aligned with the values and the objectives of Costco, and he models it both in his personal behavior and in the expectations he sets for his store managers.
Right. Lead by example. Now, you also, among the five bridges, talk about the structure that supports execution.
Yeah. At some levels in the organization, you can control structure, how the work is grouped.
Right.
And an example of that would be Hewlett-Packard under Mark Hurd. Now, he basically inherited the strategy that Carly Fiorina had struggled with.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually reorganized the company. He decentralized the sales function and he centralized the IT function. He did many other things besides the reorganization, but it had a tremendous impact. And mostly what that reorganization did was align accountability. It made sure there was a line of sight between the sales organization and the business they were supporting. And that structure that supports execution.
Okay, that's an interesting point. But what can a middle manager do?
If you're not at a level in the organization where you can regroup the work and move the org chart around, what you can do is be really sure that expectations are clear, accountabilities are clear, and that you're monitoring and holding people accountable for results overall. Because that's really what structure is about. It's line of sight and accountability as much as anything else.
All right, so it seems that these are in addition to the traditional things that companies do in order to achieve their strategies.
Yeah.
But also essential.
Sure, but they get missed because when you're doing the strategic planning work, you're focused at a fairly high level. And you can talk about the need to coordinate, and you can talk about resource allocation, and you can talk about the management of change. But it's at such a high level that the difficulty is getting that conversation down into the organization.
Sure.
So it's not in the strategy formulation side. They get that pretty well. It's in then moving to the implementation execution side where they tend to stumble.
I think you're absolutely right. And during these bad times, increasingly, senior management is doing all of the strategic planning. What you've got is senior management coming up with a strategy, and middle management really doesn't get involved in the actual planning process in any active way at all.
Yeah, putting together what are the best ways and the most efficient way to involve people in the plan is not a new challenge for organizations. It's been an issue for organizations ongoing. Mm-hmm. How do you get an organization of 1,000 people, organization of 15,000 people, even an organization of 100 people, all involved in the planning process? Some of that may be a bit difficult. And you could also argue that it really is the job of the senior team to clarify strategic direction. The engagement and involvement comes in the execution side. So what the senior team is doing, I think, is saying, this is where we'd like to go. This is where we intend to be. Here are our ideas on key initiatives to take us there. And they might do that with a senior leadership team and maybe the next level down.
Right.
So you open it up to 25, 50 people, depending on the size of the organization. Then when you're moving into execution, you're starting to ask the rest of the organization to translate these initiatives into specific goals and activities inside their division, their function, their department, which would then cascade down. And you're also asking people, what do you anticipate are some of the issues related to implementation? What are the obstacles? And what are your suggestions for overcoming them? So it's not like you're saying to people necessarily, hey, let's all jump in here and shape the plan. What you're really saying is, as a senior manager, I'm accountable for shaping direction, and I'll make sure I'm networking and talking and looking for the best information and the best ideas. But when it comes to the actual doing, now I want to engage and involve you to help me think through what will it take to execute this plan effectively and well.
Right. Now, it seems to me that a lot of these bridges are related to corporate culture. What are your thoughts on that?
If you define culture as the way people behave and the norms and values of the organization, I think there's certainly an element there. To put some of these bridges in place, you may have to make a change in culture, which for me is really just shifting your expectation for people's behavior, what you want them to do.
Right.
There's a bridge which touches on the culture of organizations. It's one about involving people in decisions. One of my favorite examples of this is the National Basketball Association. A number of years ago, they wanted to introduce a new ball. It's a synthetic ball. And interestingly enough, they never once asked the players what they thought, never once asked the players to touch a sample or a model, nothing. They just did their R&D, did their product development, and then introduced the ball. And the players rejected it immediately. They said it held on to water, which made it slippery. The material had rough spots, which cut their fingers. The ball didn't even see a game.
That's a terrific one.
And let's go back to another example of leader behavior. How could the CEOs of the auto companies not know that you can't fly in a private jet to go ask somebody for money? It seems so clear and obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, they did fly down in the private jet, and the NBA did not involve the players. So even though these things seem obvious, when it comes to execution, to actually doing them, a lot of companies miss the boat. And you could put it to culture.
Uh-huh.
We behave in a certain way. We conduct ourselves in a certain way. That's why Costco is the way it is. It has a culture of frugality and tight margins, and the behavior is aligned with that.
Okay, now I have a question for you. Is there anything during the strategic planning process that is most critical?
There are some things that could be done during the strategic planning process.
Mm-hmm. for instance?
I think decisions related to resource allocation, ensuring that there's enough capacity to actually do the plan. Mm-hmm. A lot of organizational change initiatives fail because the organization puts the plan in place, gets everybody excited about it, but doesn't think through what resources are really required to implement or execute. And the same could be said for organizational structure. A lot of assumptions are made that this current structure we have will support our strategy just fine. We just need to go forward on it. However, one of the things we found is that it really comes down to the day-to-day implementation, the day-to-day interaction of leaders with their direct reports and with colleagues across organizational boundaries. So clarifying accountability is absolutely critical, and it has greater impact as you roll it down through the organization. So even though there may be clear accountability and a clear idea of priorities and a clear sense of what's important at the top, if that doesn't get rolled down and translated through the organization, that's where some of the key gaps are from planning to execution.
Rick, do you have any concluding thoughts you want to leave our audience with?
No, I think the only thing I'd say in closing is that this notion of execution is not easy. Strategy is hard, but execution, I believe, is harder. And execution requires constant vigilance. If you get it right once or at a period of time, it doesn't mean it will be sustained. These bridges require attention. They require maintenance. And you can just look at examples of companies that were great at execution at one time. Mm-hmm. Dell comes to mind. They've fallen out of favor. Even Toyota, which was a great organization, has found that their organizational structure didn't facilitate the movement of information or facilitate good coordination. So the challenge becomes not just getting it right for a particular initiative, but being able to continually attend to these bridges and the prerequisites to make sure they're all in place and they're strong and they help your employees traverse that gap.
We've been speaking to Rick Lepsinger, author of the new book, Closing the Execution Gap, How Great Leaders and Their Companies Get Results. Thanks, Rick.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Are you responsible for creating online content that connects with customers? AMA's new hands-on writing program offers skills, tools, and professional instructor feedback to help you improve your online content and bottom-line results. For more information, visit amanet.org and type 2182 into the search box. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.